Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to my special co-host every Tuesday, Professor Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, and really good to hear your voice.
Wonderful. It is great to be heard each and every day. So, wow, awesome show topic today. I see. As always, though, I mean, hey, I've grown to expect a powerful, we'll call these powerful Tuesdays because I'm telling you, this is awesome. And, you know, Terry, it's going to be a great day. We're counting down to Saturday. And
yes,
we are so glad you can't be there, but we know you have. Other things.
Well, my spirit will be there. My spirit will be there.
going into this brand new building.
Oh, that's great.
Brand new Marriott, right in the heart. I mean, just can you right on Broad Street? I mean, I'm literally going to be standing outdoors as people are walking by, and just trying to encourage individuals who are just walking by. To stop in. I can't wait to do that. That's just amazing.
And it's amazing. truly amazing. Truly amazing.
Yes. I pray that people come shopping. They're right on Broad Street, right in the heart of all the stores. And I tell you, that was a smart move for Prudential Center to open there because when they first opened, I thought, wow, a big Coliseum right smack dab in the heart of downtown. How's that going to work? I just couldn't see it. But it just goes to show you. And now to have the hotel right on the opposite side of it, right on Broad Street. And Joe's Craft Shack right there.
Great.
Yeah, a big restaurant like opening right downtown on Broad Street in Newark. It's just amazing. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to you and with your awesome topic today, and tell us what you got.
Well, again, I have a lot right here, and the thing is with these programs, again, sometimes I surprise myself only because I don't know what I'm going to do from week to week, but I go to bookstores and libraries and wherever I can go to find books that I know will be of help to our audience. And so I just want to say hello to our listening audience and really thank you for listening to the program, and if you can't catch the program, you go into the archives and you listen, and I appreciate that so much. But the thing is, today what I'm talking about is something that's really close to my heart, and especially in light of what's happening in the news, you know, just recently, and it really hurts my heart to even mention this, but two Hollywood people, a woman named Gia Alamon and a gentleman named Lee Thompson Young, both have committed suicide. As a matter of fact, Lee Thompson Young just was in the news yesterday. He is a star, appears on a TV show, Rizzoli and Isles, and committed suicide. And these are young people. They're both 29 years old. And it really hurts me because it's obvious that they, whatever they were going through, was something that didn't help them to see their future. And today we want to talk all about the future. Today we want to talk about how you count your days. Do you count them down? Do you count them up? Do you not count them at all? And I think that we have to really develop the attitude that we have to live life on purpose each and every day. Live life on purpose each and every day. And that's really the message of this particular book. And the book I'm talking about is simply entitled 20,000 Days and Counting, subtitled The Crash Course for Mastering Your Life Right Now. That's 20,000 Days and Counting, The Crash Course for Mastering Your Life Right Now. And it's by a gentleman named Robert D. Smith. Now, Robert D. Smith is really usually a behind-the-scenes person, because if you know anything about motivational speakers, and some of the best in the business are those who are writing books, who are giving speeches, and at the top of that list is a gentleman named Andy Andrews. And Robert D. Smith is his manager, which means he's the person that gets the jobs for Andy Andrews, whether it be on college campuses, whether it be on large speaking panels, wherever it be. He is the one who helps Andy Andrews get these jobs. And he's been doing this for Andy Andrews for the past 30 years. They were childhood friends. And when Robert D. Smith went into the business of managing speakers, Andy Andrews was his one and only client. And he's helped Andy Andrews go from a comedian to a very well-respected public speaker and author. And so it just goes to show that when you use your time in the right way, your time pays off for you. And this is important, Lisa, because at this particular time, the life expectancy for the average person has increased. You know, at one time it was like in the early 70s. If you lived to be 69, that was pretty good. But now, because of the size that we have, people are living longer. And at this particular point, the life expectancy has risen for women as for men. And as I mentioned before in a previous program, that if it's risen for men, it's risen even more for women. And maybe we need to do a program on why women live longer than men. But the thing is that in terms of the numbers, right now the human life expectancy, really the median age is 90. But most people look at the averages, so the average, if we look at the average, is really 81 years for women and 76 for men. So again, if all things considered, you can have a very healthy life to 81 for women and 76 for men. But again, we want to push it a little further. We want to say 90 plus for everybody. And the thing that we have to do is to begin to use our days on purpose, to live on purpose. And this book really points to that. It begins with a story of how the book was actually produced. Mr. Robert D. Smith decided to check into a hotel for 48 days. And in these 48 days, he will write this book that I hold in my hand right now. And this book is designed to help us live life on purpose. And he came up with all kinds of strategies to do this. But one of the things that really struck me is he talks about there are five benefits of remembering that life is short. Five benefits, and I don't want to go into all of them. I just want to really focus on one. And again, I find that as I go through these books and I really try to get things ready for our program, which is we don't want to forget, is all about entrepreneurs. And I'm saying that one of the things about being an entrepreneur is really looking toward the future. Have a sense that, you know, life is to be lived now, but even more in the future. And so what happens, we really look at life as being something that's constantly unfolding. Every day is a special day because every day is an unfoldment of something that we hadn't experienced before. Well, we know that there's a lot of things that are not really good, but there are also some things that are good. And the thing that I found out for many of these business books that I've been reading right now is that many of these business books are influenced by the Bible, by Bible principles. And at one time when I was growing up, when you talked about business, you didn't talk about religion, you didn't talk about faith. But I believe that to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to have a lot of faith. You have to have faith that whatever you decide to do will work out, you know. And so when we look at this book, we see that he gives a practical experience, but he also helps us to realize that God plays a part in this as well. Because in this book, he quotes Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12, which says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so we use our days in the right way. We'll be learning, and when we learn, we want to teach, we want to share, and all this is to the good. Now, he talks about five benefits of remembering that life is short. And one of the things I like about him and his humor, he says, and then really echoing what Les Brown always says, Les Brown says, eat the dessert first. Life is short. So therefore, you know, you want to make sure you get that sweet thing in there before anything else. And he goes on to explain further in this book by Robert D. Smith. And I just want to go of the five, all of them are important, the five benefits of remembering that life is short is all important, but I want to focus on number three and what he says, and I think that all entrepreneurs will appreciate this. He says here, five benefits of remembering that life is short. Benefit number three, I will dedicate 100% of my life to God daily. And he says, and I quote, counting my days compels me to want to spend my remaining days and years in serving my Creator. I must stay watchful, alert, and committed. I am grateful for every moment, every possibility, every person I meet throughout the day. I am fully open to God. I am an empty vessel to fill, a building with no doors. I seek what to do and where to go, living on the edge of great expectations. The sum of what I do today is more expansive and far-reaching than I can comprehend. This gives me certainty to continue with tons of massive action all day. Massive action all day. Every day there's something to be done. And we as entrepreneurs, we as Christians, we as people who really want not just the best for ourselves, but the best for our planet, the best for our friends, our families, our colleagues, our students, we have a purpose. We have a mission. And I think one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we live our lives in a way that we can be encouraging to ourselves, but encouraging to others. And so, again, we want to live life as it was our last. And he says here, living each day as if it were your last is something to really think about. Because I know a lot of times we talk about people passing away, and it's sad because there's so many things that they could have done that they didn't do, because they just didn't have time to do it. And with that in mind, you know, we have to look in terms of things that are going to help us. You know, and I think what I like to suggest is that we have to live in a state of emergency. And when I say emergency, I mean that we have to emerge with urgency, okay? Emergency, and that word is the idea to emerge with urgency, that we understand that life is to be lived at a very intense level, because really life is serious. It's no joke. We have a responsibility to live all our every day as it was the last, that it was the best. And so when we're talking about our best life, it's really, and to look at the title, he talks about mastering your life right now, not tomorrow, not the next day, but right now. And he talks about the state of intensity, and I like what he says here on page 41, and I quote, he says here, many people think that intensity is the state of mind, but it is not. Intensity is the state of emotion. Intensity comes from the heart to the head. Intensity is enthusiasm. Intensity is passion. Intensity is being in love. You have to be emotionally connected to what you are doing in order to pursue it with intensity. If you are playing a game of golf and you simply don't care about the outcome, your intensity will be low. Your focus will be weak. Your performance will be mediocre. However, if you're playing any game and something important to you is on the line. It could be money, title, reputation, pride. Everything changes. For example, let's say you're playing the game of golf where the winner will receive a valuable prize, money, an award, or recognition. Now, all of a sudden, the players are emotionally engaged. They care about the outcome. They are focused on the reward, and their intensity comes up 20-fold. In order to make every day count, you must have that emotional connection, that fanatical commitment to follow through. Most likely, you will have already created that desire, the intensity, the passion that will pull you forward. Now, let's just take a moment. It's having to, on a consistent basis, deep down, you know what counts in life. Simply focus on it. We know what's important. But we just have to be about the business of doing that, you know, and understand that every day wasted is a day that we can't reclaim. You know, life is such that it goes by whether you want to go by with it or not. You can stand still, but life is not going to stand still. Your life is constantly moving on. And so we have to understand that it is that important, and that we have to live our life, and that we have to celebrate our life. And again, I told you before, he has this idea, and again, it's very popular, you know, among those who read Les Brown, like myself and yourself. It says here, so to eat dessert first. And he says, and I quote here on page 45, he says here, you know, when you're out to dinner and that really amazing decadent dessert on the menu catches your eye, you fall away in your mind and think, I'll get that after the meal. Then by the time you're done and it's time for dessert, you're too full to eat anything else. Sound familiar? Celebrating your life is kind of like that. We always think, now that it's time to stop and celebrate, I'll do that once I've insert lofty goal you want to accomplish here. Here's the problem with that philosophy. If you don't stop to celebrate the little steps along the way, you get burned out. You get too full, just like when you put off dessert. That's why if you ever happen to go out to dinner with me, I'll always insist on everyone ordering dessert first. I'm talking before the appetizer even come out. Order the dessert before you have time to fill up, before you have time to think about the calories. You can work this off. These are some of the excuses we try to use for not celebrating. I don't have time. I'm too tired. I haven't accomplished anything major yet. Forget about those excuses. The little steps must be recognized and honored. The main goal would be unreachable without them. Don't even wait for the opportunity to arise. At dinner, if you wait for other people at the table to mention dessert, chances are they won't. They're sitting there hoping you will mention it. Life is the same way. Life is waiting on you. Celebrate for simply waking up in the morning. Turn on some fun music. Dance, jump up and down when you get out of bed. Spreading celebration and joy is the only way to understand, to withstand the intensity of your mission. Remember this as you read on. I can't wait for you to see what comes next. There's much work to be done and much to be celebrated. But just for a moment, stop here. Celebrate yourself getting this far, and this far in the book and this far in the life, because he found it at age 54 that he had lived 20,000 days. Okay, and now he is really at the point where he's trying to look at the next 20,000 plus days. And I want to wrap this up by just looking at some ideas that he presents here. And one idea that I like he talks about is motivation. And a lot of times people don't do things because they're not, quote, motivated. But he says we have to look at motivation in a different way, because motivation, people see that as something that is really going to get you excited and get you about doing what you know that you should do. And so he says that motivation is a myth. And he goes on to say here in page 51, he says, yeah, you may hear people saying all the time, take action, do something, do better. We know how difficult it can be to get someone to make a move, especially ourselves. But how do you get yourself or anyone else to do it? Let me give you a hint. It's definitely not a question of motivation. Why? Because motivation is a myth. Believe me. You cannot motivate people to do any one thing, even yourself. Never try to motivate yourself or anyone else to increase productivity. Instead, do the opposite. Increase your productivity, then the motivation will follow. I'm going to read that again. Increase your productivity, then the motivation will follow. We're always trying to get ourselves to find a better or more efficient way to do things instead of getting ourselves excited to do better. But when we actually do better, we get excited, and the cycle continues. I always feel better after I do what I was supposed to do, not before. Beforehand, there's always a bit of nervousness and hesitation, along with the thoughts like, what are people going to say and can I do this? But afterwards, I always feel great. I've accomplished something. Exercise is a prime example. I have never wanted to work out in my life. I'm always glad I did. What about being creative? I have a close friend who is a successful author. He says he hates to write, but he is always elated once he has written. Sounds familiar? We know what we're supposed to be doing, but when we wait for that motivation to come ahead of time, it never does. The reason is because we have it backwards. Psychologist William James believed that we don't sing because we're happy. We're happy because we sing. I really love this idea. Leave it and sing. In the shower, if you have to, sing while you do something and infuse it with joy. It beats waiting around for inspiration any day. And that's a beautiful thought, the fact that motivation really follows action. Once we get into it, we really, really find ourselves doing the thing that we want to do. And that's why I really think that, and the book reinforces that, the morning is so important, because he says here, how do you start your day? What matters most when you're fresh out of bed? Here's what a typical morning thought process is like for me. He says here, when I first open my eyes, I immediately feel grateful and full of anticipation. This is a new day. I have more chances, opportunities, and unexpected privileges because I stepped up and took responsibility in all areas of my life. And so, again, wake up with expectation. Wake up with the idea that, you know what, you're going to pursue this day as far as you can. And I like, he says, that if you're not sure how to do it, you can ask yourself these questions. And this is called seven questions to seize the essence of the day. Number one, whose life am I going to brighten today? Number two, what three things am I most grateful for today? Number three, what memories am I going to create today? Number four, what challenges am I going to overcome today? Number five, what values am I going to create today? Number six, how much joy can I create for others and myself today? And number seven, what life-changing decisions am I going to make today? And I don't think at this point the questions are so important. I want you to get the book and look at it. But the thing is that every day we have a mission. Every day we have something to look for. And we have to make a decision. I'd like to end just with this last quote from the book. He says that, he went to the hotel to write this particular book. And he says here, when I left that hotel 48 hours later, I had a sense of purpose and direction like never before in my life. Do you know what it feels like to wake up every day with the absolute certainty that what you will be doing every hour of that day will add up to something much larger than you? If you don't know what that feels like, I promise you can. There's no secret, trick, or complicated formula you have to follow. All it takes is for you to simply decide that you are going to live your life with purpose, that you will never stop chasing that purpose as long as you're still breathing. Decisions you make right now can change your life forever, literally forever. You do not choose to be born. You do not choose your parents. You do not choose the time period in which you live. You do not choose the country of your birth. You do not choose the circumstances of your upbringing. In most cases, you do not choose to die. You do not choose the time or conditions of your death. Despite all realms of this choicelessness, we do choose how we live. May you have a glorious ending by beginning today. And I want to read that again. Despite all the realms of this choicelessness, the things that we can't choose, and he says here, and I emphasize, we do choose how we live. Many have had a glorious ending by beginning today. May you have a glorious ending by being today, he says. So again, we do choose how we live. And so the book that I've been talking about is entitled 20,000 Days and Counting, The Crash Course for Mastering Your Life Right Now. And this is from Robert D. Smith, who is the motivator and the manager of Andy Andrews, who's a very well-known public speaker. So again, we have a choice. We can live our life every day, or we can not live our life every day. We can just procrastinate and not do the things that we need to do, waiting for motivation, which he said is a myth. I mean, do what you said that you're going to do. And as you do that, you'll find all the motivation that you need. And so this book, 20,000 Days and Counting, The Crash Course for Mastering Your Life Right Now, by Robert D. Smith, is another book in the book Success Project. A mission that I'm on to make sure that you have all the books that you need to be successful. And we've talked about a lot of books in the course of these Tuesdays, and we're going to speak about a lot more. But the thing is that this, don't just listen to me talk about these books. I want you to read these books. And after you read these books, like I do, put these books in action. Begin counting your days in a purposeful way so that when you do leave this particular realm of existence, you will find that you will be very satisfied. And as Lisa likes to say, you know, you want to use yourself up. You know, you want to live life empty because you give it all your talents, all your abilities to your fellow man so they can live a much better life. And so, again, 20,000 Days and Counting by Robert D. Smith is a book that you want to read and you want to have in your library and you want to actually practice principles in your life.
Awesome, awesome. Amazing.
And see, this is something that you got to sort of stop for a minute and sort of, you know, sort of breathe in, you know, because this is some life-changing information right here. You know, we all have a certain amount of hours in a day, and now we only have a certain amount of hours in our life. And you know what? We want to make the most of it, you know.
That's so true. So true. Mm-hmm. Truly amazing. So that is awesome, I tell you. You know, that's really great. You don't never think about it like that, but it's so amazing.
Because we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about our death, but also we don't want to look at the time. Because, like, you look at, like, 20, he at 54, he had accumulated, and we all do, like, 20,000 days. Like, for you, it's a lot less than, you know, I mean, 20,000 days. 20,000
mm-hmm.
days and counting. And, you know, again, we really have to count our time because, you know, because there's no guarantees. All we have is really faith. Believe it or not, I mean, people understand me. We have the faith that we're going to make it through this day, and there's no guarantee. But we, you know, it's really, we know by the grace of God that we woke up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me laugh when people say they don't believe in God, they don't believe in a high power, they don't believe in faith. But, you know, but if we do, I mean, when we go to, like, especially if you're, in a store, and you buy some food, you buy something to drink. Now you have the faith that that beverage is going to be healthy. You have the faith that that food is not going to give you food poisoning. I mean, that's faith right there. You know, because you don't know, but yet you know we give that faith to man, but not give it to God, who has more of an interest than man could ever have in us. And that's why I don't think it's strange, Lisa, that as we talk about these books, these business books, that they have begun to actually include scripture. Because, again, to be an entrepreneur in this time, day and time is really an act of great faith because so many businesses fail. And so, obviously, it's not just the intellect of the entrepreneur or the resources of the entrepreneur. There's other things that have to be at play. And I'll give you a quick example. You know, I'm actually putting together a Christian film festival for October 11, 12, and 13. We'll talk more about that later. But what I want to show you, and this is to show you how God works for the entrepreneur, we had a hotel booked here in Raleigh called Hotel Indigo. Make a long story short, we were going to show most of our fellows at Hotel Indigo, as well as some local churches. Now, 2 weeks ago, we got the email from the hotel that told us that they would be closing the hotel for that weekend. And what happens is that, you know, all the things that we had planned to do there, we cannot do. Now, it's something, you know, it's interesting with God is that, you know, my partner for this project is LaVon James. And LaVon, you know, is very excitable, you know. So she called me and said, you know, what is, told me what had happened. I said, well, look, don't, you know, just calm down, you know. We'll make a way. So I made some calls. She made some calls. And this is where God stepped in. Because at Hotel Indigo, we only had one screening room, and we had another room that we could use for screening, but it wasn't the same thing. But what happened is that we looked around, and we found that there is a Holiday Inn in Clark, New Jersey, which is like 10 minutes away from Rahway. And not only is it one of the best regarded hotels, as a matter of fact, it's won many awards for hospitality, but it has two screening rooms. And what happened at this particular point, we had 15 people who had actually signed up for rooms at Hotel Indigo at a special reduced rate. And we were thinking about those people, said, where are they going to go now? So the Holiday Inn and Clark had actually accepted those people at the same rate that we gave them, and then took it a step further and gave us 30 more rooms they put aside for us, you know? And so I'm saying to you, and then, you know, and the place is just, it's lovely. It's bigger than Hotel Indigo, and it's more room for a lot of things that we want to do. And I'm just saying that if I was to look at my own resources, I would say, you know what, okay, we can't do the film festival. It was a good idea. It didn't work. Let's pack up our tents and move on. But God said no, okay? I shut that door, but I opened up a bigger door. And so now we can show more films, and we have more people come out. And I'm telling you, you know, I never thought that we would have this film festival in Clark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
I got to Clark.
And what is the date of it?
Excuse me?
What is the date again for it?
Yes, October 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
so...
and it's the Church is Making Movies film festival. You know, Church is Making Movies. But again, this whole people say why are you so calm? You know, I'm not at the point in my life, especially with this particular project, because I know why we're trying to do it. That, you know, I'm leaving it in God's hands. God is directing me in this. You know, I wake up every morning, I make my calls, and except I do what I have to do. But you know what? I'm not worried, because you know what? See, God got this. Okay, God got this. And not Terry, not LaVon. It's all God, because I tell you, the vision that we had for this particular project has grown to the point where I don't even recognize it. And people have come to us as volunteers to do music, to do DJ, to do hospitality. As a matter of fact, we're having a meeting this Saturday just to talk about hospitality, because I want all those people coming from Texas and Virginia and North Carolina to feel that, you know what, I came to the Church is Making Movies Film Festival. You know what? I had the best time. Those people really put out their best for me. You know, because I do believe that hospitality, the spirit of hospitality, is Bible based. Because I think about Jesus Christ. I think about how he washed the feet of his disciples back in the day. That was a thing that the host did when you walked into their house. Before you entered their house, they would wash your feet because they wanted you to be comfortable. And I tell you, and Elisa, it's so funny because, you know, I keep up with you on Facebook, and I said, you know what, you and I have some similar traditions, and sometimes I try to change it, but you taught this summer, and I taught this summer. And every day, every time I teach, especially during the summer, and also in the fall and the spring, it is traditional that we end with a class party. And then there were times when I told students, you know, we're kind of busy. I don't know if we have time for the class party. They said, but Professor Benjamin, you let the other class have a class party. I said, okay. Okay. But if we do it, somebody has to put this together. And I tell you, Lisa, you probably find the same way. Again, this is purely volunteer. Everybody brings what they can bring. I don't put a burner on anybody. But I tell you, every time I give a class party, I'm kind of same with you, we have more food that we can eat at that one time. We have different types of food. People come out with their traditional foods from their culture and whatnot. And it's always been a great thing. And we leave that day happy. And even if you didn't get an A, you know, or B, there's some students who got a C+ who thanked me because they know that they had improved. And so I'm saying that spirit of hospitality is something that I think, you know, we can't discount it. It is so important because people need to feel good about what they've done.
And you know, I'm thinking
so much.
Yeah, I agree. I would even go as far as to say, if I was a high school teacher, if I was, I probably would have a class party at the end of every month.
Oh, my goodness.
At
oh,
the end of every
you.
Month. At the end of every
oh,
month.
Wow.
Well, they would love themselves because they would have to bring
exactly.
the goodies. First
yes.
of all, these young people have a lot of money, the spendable money. That's number one.
Sure. Yes,
number
yes.
two, I've learned that when you, so is that, that's one thing that I like about motivation, is uh-huh. that when people are motivated, they will succeed. That we know.
Yes,
people can say,
yes,
you know, they
yes.
can say a lot about motivation, but what yeah. I've experienced with motivation is when you're motivated with something, you're going to succeed at that.
Right.
And so what I found is that people are motivated when they do things they like.
Yes, yes.
And
do what you love.
Yeah, and then I learned another secret that even when people don't like what they're doing, if it's a challenge, it'll draw them in.
Is that something? Yes. Yeah.
And why so many of our kids join gangs? Because it's such a challenge. It goes
yes.
beyond everything that they think they know how to do. Because, you know, joining a gang has got to be one of the scariest things you could ever think to do.
But
you probably know more about this than I do, being a writer and all that. And
yeah,
reader, yeah, when people are challenged, they're sucked in. So when you say, you know, have a party, how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Now you've already instantly, you've piqued that challenge at, you know, that challenge thing for that student. And so they just kick in and do. And I've seen it. I never used to give part. I've been teaching since like over 12 years now. I never gave parties, ever. It wasn't until two semesters ago, back in last fall semester.
Yes.
But my students were like, we want to have a party. And I was like, go for it. And it probably was like 2 years ago. My first CSS course, they did it in one of those classes. And let me tell you, it was such a hit. This one guy brought the macaroni and cheese, was so delicious.
Oh,
I said, we'll have a party
yes.
every time now.
So this
is my third semester with the class ending at the party. But, you know, I don't force it on the classes. It's only for my class this summer, two classes. One class did, the other one did not. However, the second class, they meet back to back, some of them came early. We had so much food. I says, oh, why don't you? I say, you guys want something, whatever, whatever. So they came in. So I said, see, coming early has its privileges.
But the thing is, I think people love to work together. And I think, again, because when we have our parties, you know, we had rappers, we had singers.
Wow.
We had dancers. I mean, you know, for me, I like a
party.
Party.
You have
a like a
party.
and the thing is, but again, you find that when you do this, students, it goes back to, I think, elementary school, that we want to please our teachers, that, you know, if you like a teacher, you want to read well, you want to do what you got to do, and it never ends. And that's why I think at one point, I mean, we are like children. You know,
you just said a mouthful right there. I hate to interject here, but you just said a mouthful, right? I think I'm going to use that on my students, because students, a lot of times, they will act like they like you. So I'm going to start off my class, do you like me? So you got to do well for me. I never got that growing up at home. I didn't realize that as a child, because I was disobedient. So I didn't realize that I was kind of sending a signal to my mom, probably, because my mom was, she was really into reading and stuff. I probably was sending a signal to her that I really don't like her, it never dawned on me. But I finally did learn in life that parents do kind of treat the kid that likes them, well, maybe not, but not likes them, but when a child obeys the parent, the parent kind of interprets that as, this child loves me, you know. And that's what God said. God said, if you love me, you'll obey me.
And the thing is, and there's no pressure, you know, because I know, like, some students have gone all out for me. And it's so funny because in my class, you know, because the way I dress, sometimes the students pick up on that, you know. they stop wearing jeans. And sometimes it's just so subtle. Because, I mean, we had a party, and people were, like, looking good. I said, this is a good-looking group here, you know?
I know, I even noticed that too. I noticed a girl came dressed up because I was teasing her.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
Wow, you dressed up for the party. I just never, but I, you know, I got to go into the high school and teach a class, just one of the CSS classes coming up in the fall. I'll be teaching at one of the high schools in Newark. And so I was like, okay, God, you're going to give me a strategy for the high school students. So I'm taking all of this in, party. No, I'm just teasing.
No, please, because what happens is that, you know, like it or not, we become role models for these students. And also, like it or not, and this is what I found for myself, that we are leaders of that classroom. You know, we are the captains of
that
classroom from the beginning to the end. And that's why I start my classes with a prayer to myself. I pray that I will be able to make it to the end of this class, and that I'll be able to actually teach students, you know. And the first thing I do in my class is that when I come in my first class, I do a raffle for my books. I give out about 20 books, you know, because I want them to understand that, you know, the thing is that, you know what, it's about sharing what you have. It's about giving what you have. It's about being, you know, because, again, when you give, everybody who see you give, they are blessed by that giving. And it continues
the
whole semester.
I'm going to do the raffle with the book, but they won't get it to the end. But they won't get it to the last day.
but that's motivation. Because, you see, I think the thing is that people have to have something to look forward to. Every day in my class, they know they're going to do something really crazy, really wild.
Well,
but, you know, it's all in context, you know? It's all in context.
Wow.
I said every day, you know, we're about, you know, the habit of literacy. Every day we're going to do some reading. Every day we're going to do some writing.
Wow.
Every day we're going to do some talking. Every day we're going to do some listening. And every day we're going to do some viewing. Maybe a short, like, 15-minute film or whatever, you know. But every day we're going to do it. But you don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what we're going to read and whatnot, although you can find it reading. I think it goes back to expectation. Again, counting your days. I mean, what are you going to do today? I'm on, quote, vacation right now. And, of course, like you, I mean, I do more on my vacation than I do on my regular job. Because, see, now I have the free will. I can work in my office. I can go to the library, go to the bookstore. I can even go to the movie if I want to. But it's all part of me being a better person. And I think that the better you are, the more that you have to give. It's that simple. And that's what I tell my students. You know, just be a better you, that's all. Don't worry about him or her or whatnot. Just be a better you.
Well, we have about 1 minute left, so we want to thank you for tuning in. We want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. Please leave us a message on Facebook. Definitely tune in tomorrow, our topic tomorrow, high-speed passion. Get your passion on high speed, so don't miss tomorrow. Get ready for Saturday. Get ready for your day. If you need to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook. So we thank you for tuning in. And until next time, Brother Terry, thank you. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday.
Yes, yes,
same time, same place, God willing. Thank you for that powerful, powerful topic and about the urgency, but being emerging to where God would have us to be, emerging with that urgency and really living that best life that we can live now. And thank you for discussing the 20,000 days and counting, and you know, just reminding us how precious each and every day. And we pray for those families of those who have taken their lives, and we know that people, so we're going to keep doing what we do and do it with even more urgency to reach people. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your day. And Coach Lalisa and Professor Terry Benjamin.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLaLisa.